Case United States versus Ramsey, Mr. Cronin.
May it please the court, my name is Dan Cronin. I'm here on behalf of appellant Barry Ramsey. When the district court denied the motion for diminished capacity, that denial was premised on two conclusions at issue this morning. One was the length of time between the childhood rapes suffered by the appellant and the resulting chronic post-traumatic stress disorder, which we maintained constituted a significantly reduced mental capacity as defined by the diminished capacity guideline. Second reason given by the district court was that the district court was not satisfied by Dr. Cuneo's testimony that the post-traumatic stress disorder resulted in a strong need for protection. The district court seemed to demand that post-traumatic stress disorder results specifically in a need for a gun, since this is, of course, a felon in possession of a firearm case. Those are the conclusions that we disagree with this morning. We argue that those constitute an error of law in grafting onto the diminished capacity guideline two requirements which simply are not there. The temporal requirement by the district court would lead to absurd results. For example, two veterans, both of whom happen to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, if one suffers from that as a result of serving in Iraq under General Norman Schwarzkopf, but the second suffers it on account of duty in Iraq under General Tommy Franks a decade later, we might have two completely different applications of the diminished capacity guideline simply based on the time frame. And of course, that's not in the guideline itself. The only temporal requirement in the guideline itself is that while the defendant committed the offense, that he or she was suffering from a significantly reduced mental capacity. Similarly,
yeah, it's pretty speculative, though, trying to connect up childhood circumstances to adult behavior.
Well, Your Honor, it was Dr. Cuneo's testimony was uncontroverted. Suffering two rapes in childhood.
It's your position that the judge has to take what the doctor told him as gospel if nobody rebuts him?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
The judge has discretion.
The judge just didn't believe that that had anything to do with the crime at hand.
Right.
Whatever the doctor said.
Yes, Your Honor. Especially
because, and that's pretty much a judgment call.
Oh, Your Honor, I don't believe it's just a judgment call.
What's the percentage of population that suffers from post-incident trauma?
I don't know, Your Honor.
How about a good guess of millions?
Well, it may be, Your Honor.
Well, there were 16 million people in World War II, just to begin with. We work our way down from there, you got millions of people.
Right. But, Your Honor, certainly in this case, we have a very uncommon situation.
It's a question of whether or not that impacted enough on his behavior so that the judge should take that into consideration.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's a judgment call.
Did Dr. Cuneo refer to any psychiatric literature to substantiate his position?
No, Your Honor. Although in commenting on Dr. Cuneo's testimony, the district court praised Dr. Cuneo's sincerity and his reliability.
You don't have to worry about his sincerity. I agree.
Thank you, Your Honor. In fact, Your Honor,
it's related to Judge Bauer's question. Don't you want to have some scientific basis for thinking that this kind of causal relationship is likely? Have a psychiatrist get up and speculate isn't very convincing.
Well, the district court didn't seemed to take any exception to what Dr. Cuneo testified to. It was more a matter of, in the district court, my not going as far.
But there must be a range of psychiatrists. Some believe, some have extreme views. Do we know where Dr. Cuneo, was he qualified as an expert in Albert hearing?
There was no hearing.
What do we know about him?
The district
views are very unrepresentative.
The district judge's comment that he found him to be very reliable when the judge was in private practice, and that he always told him.
Just didn't have to believe him. His conclusion is what he argued about, not his diagnosis.
Well, I think it was the conclusion didn't go far enough.
His diagnosis, he didn't argue with the diagnosis at all. What he argued with was the conclusion of the diagnosis.
And the application of the law based on that conclusion. Yes, Your Honor, I see that I'm out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Cronin. Ms. Scott, again?
Your Honor, as this court acknowledged in U.S. v. Vaughn, post-Booker, all sentences are reviewed for reasonableness, and as part of that review, this court considers the district court's refusal to depart from the advisory sentencing guidelines. Here, the sentence was reasonable, presumptively reasonable, because it was within the properly calculated guideline range of 18 to 24 months. In fact, he was sentenced to 21 months. The defendant doesn't argue that this sentence is unreasonable in light of any of the factors in 3553. Instead, he argues that it is unreasonable because the district court made an error of law when determining whether or not this downward departure was warranted. He argues two grounds for that. One, he argues that the district court required some kind of temporal relationship. But the defendant has cited to nothing that holds that a district court might not use this information in analyzing whether or not a downward departure is warranted based on this information, the time between the traumatic event and when the instant offense was committed. In this case, the abuse was committed 23 years before the defendant had committed the instant offense. The defendant cited to U.S. versus Merriweather in support of his argument about the temporal relationship. However, in Merriweather, the Ninth Circuit never addressed the issue of a temporal relationship. Instead, it only noted that the government had raised this issue, arguing against the downward departure, and that this argument, although persuasive, was ultimately rejected by the district court. And another difference is in Merriweather. The court considered the pre-amended guidelines, which did not require the significantly reduced mental capacity to contribute significantly to the commission of the offense. With respect to the argument that the judge shouldn't have required the connection between the instrumentality of the crime and the significantly reduced mental capacity, in fact, the crime here was that the defendant was charged with the unlawful possession of a firearm. And so it was relevant to the question of whether a downward departure was warranted because his significantly reduced mental capacity had to contribute substantially to the commission of him being a felon in possession of a firearm. Dr. Cuneo never testified that the past history of abuse suffered by the defendant caused him to get a gun in particular. He said, instead, it was a contributing factor for the strong need for protection. And this is as the district court pointed out in making its ruling. In addition, Dr. Cuneo admitted on recross that there were lawful means in which the defendant could have used to alleviate this strong need for protection. And to alleviate his feelings of helplessness.
That doesn't mean anything.
I'm sorry.
Say that doesn't mean anything.
Well, the question here
he didn't have to commit the crime is pretty simple. But I mean, what you ought to do is stick with the real program. That no matter what the doctor said, the judge had a right to reject that.
That's correct.
That's a judgment call, and that's where you ought to quit.
Yeah, okay, Your Honor. But I'm just addressing the defendant's arguments about the mistakes of law.
I know, I understand. But the mistake of law is that he didn't follow the rule and do what the doctor said he's supposed to do. And the answer is he's got a perfect right to reject whatever it is the doctor said.
That's correct, Your Honor, because...
Okay, then why don't you quit there?
Okay, I will quit there.
Atta girl.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Scott. Mr. Cronin?
Thank you, Your Honor. Barry Ramsey does not have a right. He is not entitled to a downward departure for diminished capacity or any other grounds. we're maintaining that he is entitled to a correct application of the guideline, and that that did not occur here. Not because the court exercised discretion in rejecting the testimony of Dr. Cuneo, not because the district court applied its discretion to not apply the guideline based on some factors that could not fairly be described as rules of law. These are two requirements that would apply far beyond Barry Ramsey. When Dr. Cuneo testifies that he had a strong need for protection, it makes perfect sense that he would go out with a strong means of protection.
He doesn't have to accept that. That's what I'm telling you. He can, the doctor can believe that sincerely, desperately, and so on. But the judge does not have until enlisting the circumstances to believe that. And that's right. What he didn't do.
Yes.
And that's not an error of law. It's just a difference of opinion. Well, only a judge gets to have the opinion. The doctor just gets to give it. And then you're out of time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Cronin. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
We thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
You did a noble job.